Thank you, Greg. Now we welcome back Tim Johnson. Like Greg, Tim is a CAPE co-reporter, so he's talking with a different hat on right now. Tim, I think you're going to talk on the carbon calculator.
Well, thank you, Chris. As was said, same presenter, but different hat this time. I'd like to talk to you about ICAO's carbon calculator. I have to stress that the calculator itself was a secretariat initiative and something that's been worked up within ICAO. In my capacity as co-rapporteur of the Aviation Carbon Support Group, which is one of the groups set up under CAPE, our role really is to offer sort of advice and support to the secretariat to help them to develop the calculator further and to refine it. I say co-rapporteur rather. I have a colleague, Alexandre, from Brazilian government, who unfortunately isn't with us today. Bear with us. Okay, so for those of you that were here yesterday for the tutorial, you would have probably heard from Ted Thrasher about the calculator and how it works. My role today is really to talk about how we intend to move forward with that and develop it even further. But if you could just bear with me, if you were here yesterday, for two or three slides, I think it would be important for those that weren't, just to get a bit of more background if you're not familiar with it, although I certainly hope that you are. You'll find this on the ICAO website. It's very prominently marked on the toolbar on the left-hand side of the ICAO webpage. It takes you to the site. I think you'll find various carbon calculators out there in the marketplace. There are two aims behind the ICAO calculator that we believe makes it stand apart from the rest. One, of course, is the fact that it uses best publicly available data. And the other one is that it is fully transparent. And the transparency element is quite key. And if you actually look on the site, you'll find a link there to a methodology. And that methodology will explain to you how each of the various stages that are inherent in the carbon calculator have been generated and how the result has been produced. It's certainly easy to use, as I'll show you in a moment, and we hope it delivers very consistent estimates of CO2 emissions. So, depending on your use, if you're looking to build up CO2 inventories or you're using it for offset programs, it's a very reliable starting point. And it's been available now for coming up to 2 years. What it also allows is public feedback. So if you have a comment on it, if you have a question on it, you're able to contact the secretariat and put that comment to them. One of the roles of ACTS has been to actually bring together that public feedback, and where there are sort of consistent questions that can be grouped, we've actually asked ourselves whether there's any improvement that could be made to the calculator that could actually address that, or whether it's just a question of presentation, again, whether there are improvements that can be made. So these are the component parts. Obviously, everything you would expect to see in a calculator. It has a database. We make a split between passenger and cargo ratios based on weight. We have in load factor data, which ICAO collates on a regular basis, great circle distance with a correction factor, through to fuel burn. And all of this is obviously used to generate your results. And importantly, the only thing the user needs to put in are the inputs on airport and the class of service. So it's gaining in prominence. There were some references in the UNEP presentation this morning to the whole process of greening the UN and greening the UN family. I think it's pretty important to note that the UN's Environmental Management Group has adopted the carbon emissions calculator as the official tool for all UN bodies. And there was a figure about how much of the UN's carbon footprint was down to air travel. And those statistics, again, were used generated by the calculator. And then I think moving on from that, I think what a lot of the US offices are now interested in doing is trying to work out how this calculator can actually be integrated directly into the travel booking systems. So you're actually getting real-time information rather than post-time information that actually enables you to be informed as you make decisions. And hopefully this will guarantee complete CO2 inventories. Perhaps another initiative that's been signed with Amadeus in recent time is for ICAO to provide this sort of global technology solutions provider with information from the calculator for the travel and tourism industry. But I think we would stress that in making this available, ICAO has not sought in any way to profit from making the information available. It's only sought an arrangement in terms of recovering its costs. So, improvements that we've made to date. I think there were two issues that frequently cropped up in the public feedback from the website to date. One of them has been about the use of non-CO2 effects and why that isn't in the calculator. And the other concern is related to why ICAO doesn't provide any direct means of offsetting. And there are two good reasons that support both of those. I think one is whilst it's always recognised that there are obviously CO2, non-CO2 effects out there, you heard from the scientific panel this morning some of the difficulties in accurately identifying what a correct multiplier should be in terms of actually incorporating that into the calculator and indeed even the metric. So for that reason, it doesn't at the moment. And the website under frequently asked questions is very explicit as to why that's the case. And similarly, it wouldn't be appropriate for ICAO to recommend a particular offset provider and at the time doesn't provide offsets in any way. And for that reason, again, you will find text to that effect explaining to the user, you know, why that's the case and some helpful pointers about where they can go for information on these topics. We also reviewed the accuracy and the clarity of the current definitions used in the methodology. I think we felt in most cases that they were actually sufficient. Where there were amendments to be made, we've made subtle changes. And the Secretariat itself has improved the user interface by allowing for the user to input airport codes as well as just sort of city names and to compute return trips and multi-city flights. So I think the important part of this presentation now, really in building on Ted's presentation from yesterday, is to tell you about where we want to go in the future with the calculator. And this is sort of divided into two halves, one looking at sort of passenger emissions and the other one looking at emissions from air freight. I think on the passenger emission side, we do recognise that we have some current gaps in our database. Some of the aircraft types that are now commonly being flown are either not directly represented in the database and have to rely on proxy models and substitute models. Others don't have any direct substitutions available. So we need to actually sort of try and plug those gaps as soon as we can. We need to refine the premium and economy multiplier. I said at the beginning that one of the input factors is for the user to put in the class of travel. So far, we've distinguished on the base of space occupied. And basically, there's a ratio of 2-1 between premium class and economy class. But maybe we can make that more sophisticated by looking at a weight-based ratio, consistent with the way that we split out freight from the passenger side. So trying to get sort of some air carrier level seating configuration data and city pair level load factor data from ICAO and industry will help us to make improvements to the existing structure of the calculator as we use it now. And certainly trying to plug some of those aircraft type gaps is a high priority. But there are perhaps ways that we can take this a little bit further. You've already heard from Greg. That CAPE is using a number of models to estimate and forecast CO2 inventories. It may be possible for ICAO to actually put together a single database of modelled fuel consumption, drawing on all of these various input models that the CAPE process has available to it. And that may be able to allow us in the calculator to benefit from some of the more sort of route-specific data, albeit that it would be industry averaged. And then, right at the end. And then moving on from that, trying to move away from model data and move back to directly measured fuel consumption data, that would probably be the sort of highest level of granularity that we could possibly achieve. And a lot of that information, obviously, we would need industry to share with us. And I think we realise in doing that that the success would be in maintaining some agreement on the level of disclosure and being able to aggregate it in a suitable way that didn't compromise any individual airline. But certainly that's where we see the ambition of the calculator going at the end. And then finally, I think, you know, I talked a lot about the passenger side, but one of the questions that frequently cropped up was how can we use the calculator to estimate emissions from air freight? And I think, you know, we spent part of the last CAPE cycle looking at the various approaches to that. And I think one thing that we would all recognize is that the user probably has no real knowledge of how their parcel is being sent, the cities it travels from, and indeed the modes it travels by. And at best, there would be a level of sort of inherent assumptions and a sort of guesstimation behind that. So for the time being, we decided that we will add to the frequently asked questions by explaining the difficulties for calculating air freight, but at the same time trying to work up a set of guidelines. So for those companies or those individuals who want to go down that route, a set of basic principles and a set of common assumptions that they could use to try and arrive at the right results. And I think I'll end on that. Thank you.